We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our church is located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway, and our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 7. We would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Brother Oscar McCamus.
Psalms chapter 33. Look down to about verse 6, if you would. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathens to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitudes of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine." Question here as we read this scripture: can God still save America? Can God still save America? And we are in now another presidential campaign, and we hear all these candidates making these presidential addresses, and almost every one of those that ends their address, and they say something, and may God bless the United States of America. And that's how most every one of them ends their state or their a speech. And it's a great statement, and it's one that every one of us as American that we should give our full approval to. In other words, it used to mean something because it acknowledged the ability of God to bless our nation. It meant something because we understood the necessity of his blessings on our nation. And it also meant something in the past because our willingness to do whatever is necessary to obtain God's blessing upon our nation. Nowadays, it's just merely more of a traditional expression for ending a speech. And so sometimes it appears maybe that the speaker uses it at the end of his speech simply because he don't know any other way to end it. So he just ends it by saying that phrase. So don't misunderstand me, because I understand today that they are some politicians who are real patriots. In other words, men who truly love our country. And from when they make that statement, it comes from the depths of their souls, and they really mean, "May God bless America." But more often than not, the appeal to God and the show of patriotism is only a ploy to try to win an election. And so, with that being said, there were times when the sons and daughters of America truly sought the blessings of God on our nation. Today, there's vast areas of our national life where God's blessings are not very evident, not very noticeable. So it's possible in this day that we're living today to see the rich blessings of God like that we saw them 3 or 4 generations ago. It's possible that God will still bless this nation that we love. And let me say again that I do love this nation that we live in. And it's possible for this phrase, "May God bless America," to be true even today. So I believe this nation that we live in and call home, that we love, has been the greatest nation on earth for the last 200 years. And so has greater, and I also believe that it has greater days ahead, but I think there's a stipulation there. It only has greater days ahead if we'll obey the Word of God. So that's what I want to talk about here this morning. One of the first things that I want you to see is I want you to see the power of the Almighty God. I want you to see what a powerful God that we're serving this morning. And so the text begins with an exclamation here of declaring the awesome power of Almighty God. He said, before we get to the blessings of the nation, before we get to the time when God rolls out those things that cannot be explained by any other way, by mortal means, we just have to explain God did it. And before we get to that, we must step back and we got to look up and acknowledge that there is a sovereign, holy God that is Almighty. We've got to agree to that. That there is an awesome, almighty, sovereign God that is in control of this universe this morning. We have to confess that and admit that before we'll ever have the blessing of God on our country. America's greatness has always rested on our acknowledgement that we needed the blessings of God and that we believed in His greatness. And so, but in the last 100 years, so many changes have taken place in the national mindset that now our nation even questions the greatness of God. They question the greatness of Almighty God. And so this passage that I read here this morning gives us three specific areas in which our God is indeed great. The first thing I want you to see, that God is indeed great in creation. Look in verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them in the breath of His mouth. In other words, first, we see the greatness of the creation of God. When solemn words He spoke into existence, the heavens and the earth, in six literal days. And so, we want you to know that they did not evolve into existence, and they're not the result of change or circumstances. In other words, furthermore, it wasn't some intelligent design where some unknown, someone decided to partner a bit of creation with a bit of evolution and make them work it all out together. That's not how it happened. That God spoke it into existence. And so there was no scientist in a laboratory somewhere observing somewhere the day the earth began. Evolution cannot be proven in the observation that science requires. Rather than a theory, it's more of a hypothesis. Now, I can't hardly say that word, but I know what that word means. A hypothesis means that somebody just makes a statement and then they try to prove it. In other words, we just make a statement like, I believe the world was created by some great explosion. And then they set out to try to prove that. I was practicing saying that word yesterday. And I said, Pam, help me say it now. Help me say what this is. And Trey said, hypothenuse. I said, Trey, you're just in the sixth grade. He said, yes, I know, Dad, we study that in science. I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Is what our children are studying in school. Is what they are. And so the hypotenuse of evolution and the hypotenuse of intelligent design says that God needed the help of involving chemicals and existing matter to create the heavens and the earth. Let me say to you this morning, God didn't need no help. God just stood on nothing and spoke everything into existence. And so all these methods of explaining how the earth came into existence, creation and evolution and intelligent design, must be accepted without question by a level of faith that says this right here: I believe it even though I can't see it. You can't have faith in evolution, you can't, and faith in intelligent design, and have faith in creation, but you can't have faith in all three of them. It's either one way or the other. You can't have faith in all three. You've got to have faith in what God said. Look what it says in Genesis 1:1-4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Colossians 1:16 said, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. God demonstrated, the Word of God says, His almighty power when He spoke the heaven and the earth into existence. But in our God-fearing society in which that we live in today, it has become a monumental battle even to mention God when you talk about how the world began. In other words, the fight is going to the highest court in our land over whether or not you must teach evolution or whether or not you're allowed the possibility that there is a God who created the world. Isn't that a shame? And so what we're saying is, if the blessings of God on a nation coming from acknowledging His almightiness and His power, then if we question that, we question the fact that He's even able to create this world, then the question that I'm asking is, can we still expect to receive the blessings of God if we question whether He even has the power to create the world or not? The Bible says He created, and we question His integrity by saying it didn't happen the way God said it did. Our greatness is sure to come to an end when we say that it didn't happen like God said it did. And so it is God the Creator who gives us our greatness. Now, if you consider America a great nation, and we have been in the last hundreds of years, it was all because of God. And so it's God the Creator who gives us our greatness. But if we question Him, how can we hope to be blessed and be great? If we question Him. If we even question our God. Because that's where it comes from. So the second thing I want you to see, that He's great in command. Look what verse 8 says. Let all the earth fear the Lord, for all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of them. He shows us His power to His grace and in His commandments. Our nation used to believe that when God said something, it was settled, it was true. In other words, if God said He performed a miracle, used to be our nation did not question that. It was settled, that's what He did. All Sunday school teachers in America used to teach that when David killed Goliath, that he took one stone and hit Goliath in the forehead with one stone, and it was settled. That's how it happened. Everybody believed that. But you know what's happening in a lot of churches today? A lot of churches today is teaching you don't have to believe that unless you want to. I'd like to go on record here this morning at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church. If I'd ever hear a Sunday school teacher or somebody teaching this church that says you don't have to believe that that David killed Goliath by hitting him in the head with a stone, one single stone, that big old giant. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. That may be Bible or it may not be Bible. I don't believe you'd ever teach again here in this church as long as I was here. Because that's how it's settled. It's settled. I don't have no question with that. That's how it happened. But now those things are questioned. Those things are questioned. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. When God says something, all of us should quickly acknowledge that's the way it happened. In other words, when he stood up and said that the nation of Israel would go into captivity, it happened. When God said that the walls of Jericho would fall, if the Israelites would follow his instruction, it happened. When God said that the Grecian Empire would rise, it happened. When he said his son would be born of a virgin, it happened. When God said that his son would perform miracles, Jesus performed all kinds of miracles, it happened. When God said that his son would be crucified, it happened. When God said his son would be raised from the dead after 3 days and walk upon this earth for 40 days and ascend back into the heavens, it happened. And when God says that Jesus will come back someday and receive his own, I want to assure you it's going to happen. It's going to happen just like God said that it would, just like it has always happened in the past. And so then the third thing I want you to see is that he's great in his counsel. Look in verse 10 and 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He make the vices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generation. The Bible is established. It's enduring and it will last forever and forever. 1 Peter 1:23, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Isaiah 48 said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Our nation was built by people who believed that the Bible was a special book and that it would stand forever. Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of the United States of America, said, the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. U.S. Grant, the 18th president of the United States of America, said, hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberty. Write its precepts on your heart and practice them in your life. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization. And to this, we must look as our guide in the future. Daniel Webster, a leading American statesman back before the Civil War, he said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we in our prosperity neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all of our glory in profound obscurity. William McKinley, the 25th president of the United States of America, is saying, the more profoundly we study this wonderful book and the more closely we observe its divine precepts, the better citizens we will become and the higher will be our destiny as a nation. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 34th president of the United States of America, saying, the Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. Isn't it amazing that all of these great leaders of the past, all of these great leaders should extol the virtues of the Word of God? And now a third grade child in public school is not allowed to read it. Isn't that amazing? That all of our forefathers extolled it of how valuable it was in the prosperity and the greatness of our nation. And now a third grade student in public school cannot read it. How can we expect that God will bless our nation? How can we expect that God will whose very word we doubt, whose very power that we question, and whose very act of creation we explain away, will continue to dole out His blessings like He has in the past upon us. Look, what the next thing I want you to see is, I want you to see the possibilities of His blessings. My text was, can God still save America? I want you to see in Psalms verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There can be no question that America has received blessing from God like no Gentile nation that has ever existed upon the face of the earth. We have experienced the blessings of God for over 200 years. The best days of most nations that receive the blessings of God have come and gone in less than that span of time. But the United States of America has been blessed again and again. We've been blessed in industry. We've been blessed in finances. We've been blessed in winning wars and conquering and all those kind of things. God has blessed our nation in every area. In the past, God has blessed America because we always put God first. And so the formula for today and for tomorrow is no different. God hasn't changed the formula for His blessing. It's still the same. Put me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so someone asked, but what about the constitutional necessity of separation of church and state? Now you listen to me. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as that. It's just a lie. In other words, the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America says this right here. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. But nowhere does it mention the separation of church and state. And what that means is Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. That simply means that the government cannot create a national religion and require everybody to worship that religion. That's all it means. And they holler separation of church and state. That's all our forefathers meant when they put that in there. That the nation can't come up and say, okay, we're going to declare Islam the national religion, so we're going to require every one of you to worship that. The government allows us to worship from the dictates of our hearts. We can worship any God that we want to worship. And government is not going to tell us what God that we can worship. That's what that meant. And so, in the preamble of New York State Constitution written in 1846, it says, we the people of the state of New York, grateful to the Almighty of God for our freedom, in order to secure His blessings. So he says, we're grateful to the Almighty God for our freedom. In order to secure His blessings. Where's the separation of church and state in that statement? The fact is that when we try to separate the church from the state will eventually fall. Our nation is blessed because our God is our Lord. And the one thing I want you to see is that God governs the affairs of men. George Washington, our nation's first president, said, it's impossible to reason without arriving at a supreme being. It's impossible to sit down and reason out things without coming to the point, the conclusion, there had to be a supreme being that made all of this. Benjamin Franklin, one of the most influential and important founding fathers of our nation, said this right here. I have lived a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth. God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow, and the Bible says it, cannot fall to the ground without His knowing, it's impossible to reason that an empire will rise without His aid. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States of America, said, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to turn. My own wisdom and that I of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, recognition of the Supreme Being is the most basic expression of Americanism. Without God, there could be no America form of government, nor American way of life. How about that? Dwight Eisenhower, he's one of the first presidents that I can remember. He said recognition of the supreme being is the first, the most basic expression of Americanism. Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. 3 days after the terrorist attack of our country, September 11th in 2001, George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States of America, uttered these words. We have been assured that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights nor death can separate us from God's love. May He bless the souls of the departed. May He comfort our own. And may He always guide our country. God bless America. There's no separation of church and state in any of those statements. We don't need Congress to dictate the entire country to become an independent, Bible-believing, free will Baptist church. That's not what we want the Congress to do. It's our job to get that done and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ one at a time. What we want is for Congress to say, we're not going to establish a religion. We're not going to establish one and require you to worship it. But there is no separation of church and state. We need the acknowledgement of God's presence. And we need the reliance upon His power. And so our nation has truly been blessed in the past because of our God. Was taught in every Sunday school. It didn't matter the denomination that was hanging over the door. God was taught in every Sunday school. He was taught in every schoolhouse from coast to coast. Our presidents acknowledged Him as our God, and our nation achieved greatness like no nation in the history of the world. The world cannot even fathom how a nation that is so powerful enough to take over the world didn't try to do exactly that. We have basked in God's blessings while other nations have fallen apart. While other nations have seen the economy in shambles. While other nations have seen civil wars and blood-filled coups. While other nations have seen their foundations crumble. Our foundation was based on a holy God. And an almighty God that cannot crumble. So our nation continued to be blessed time and time and time again. While others scratched their heads. While others reached out their hands and while others shouted obscenities, America continued to be blessed. The reason for our blessing is that our God was the Lord of our nation. I'm going to end by saying this right here. If America is going to remain the greatest nation on the face of the earth for our children, our grandchildren, I hope it does. I want to say I want America to be great again. I want God's blessing upon this country. And it'll happen because our God is the Lord. But God will not be our nation's Lord for long unless Christians decided to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can God still bless America? Absolutely. Will God still bless America? Absolutely. If we'll do what He commands.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church. Or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.